Take your Bible tonight. Let's look for a little while in the book of Judges, please. The book of Judges, chapter 7 and verse number 7. We've been looking some at the exploits of Gideon. And I want to put several together as we're leading up to the great battle. Lord willing, next week. But there are a lot of things that have to happen before Gideon is prepared for the greatest battle of his life. Judges 7, verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent. And retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley." I'd like to speak for just a few moments on the subject, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. If you had spoken to Gideon personally, especially after the events of verses 9 through 15, and if you had asked Gideon, "Well, how do you feel about this battle coming up? Y'all against the Midianites. You think you're going to win? You think you're going to lose?" I feel like Gideon would have said, "We're going to win, and there's no doubt about it." You see, God gave Gideon assurances. He gave Gideon promises. And sometimes we look at them individually, but this evening I want to put five or six of them together and just remind us of how much assurance God gave to Gideon before the battle. You see, you're never going to have to fight the Midianites, but you will have to fight the devil just about every day. Or if not the devil in person, then some of his demons or the world or false religion or some spiritual enemy. And it's good to go into a battle knowing ahead of time you're going to win. And when Gideon faces the great battle of his life, there's no question in his mind what's going to happen. You see, he's going to go against the Midianites. He's going to go against 100,000 Midianites and Amalekites without one weapon. Now, if you're fixing to do that, you better have heard a word from God. You better know what you're doing. And God is going to assure him in more than one way that victory is his. One of the great secrets here is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That's in chapter number 6, down at verse number 34. And Gideon learns that God is a God of power. The Midianites, the Amalekites have gathered together in the valley of Jezreel. That's the valley of Armageddon. And the Spirit of God comes upon Gideon and he blows the war trumpet. It's amazing to see the transformation in this man. Just a few days ago, he was a coward. A few days ago, he was hiding. A few days ago, he was depressed as anybody you ever talked to. Discouraged, defeated. But now he's getting ready to go against an enemy of 100,000 with no weapons. How do you explain that? The way you explain that is that the Spirit of God has come upon him and emboldened him and given him insight and courage and wisdom. You know, the Spirit of God did not indwell in the Old Testament, but he sure did come upon as he did others and empower. And so Gideon now is moving and acting in the strength of the Holy Ghost. And when he sounds this war trumpet, what a blessing that it's his own clan who are the first to fall in line, the first to respond. You remember they had been a bit leery of him, but now they believe in him, and messengers go out and summon thousands and thousands of Israelites from the different tribes. So they're getting ready for war. They're getting ready for war. And I want you to notice the patience of God with this man. The volunteers are coming in, and it's mounting up. Eventually it'll be 32,000 with Gideon at the first. But Gideon here, like many of us, is still struggles with some things. And even though God had already told him twice, "You're gonna win," Gideon needs more than that. And God could have rebuked him. And God could have said, "I already told you." But Gideon is about to learn that this God of power is a God of patience. Because, first of all, I want you to see that God had already told him. In verse 14, "Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." So God promised him. Verse 16, "Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." So God had done told him twice. But that's not enough for Gideon. And he says, "Lord, tell you what, I'm going to lay out a fleece of wool tonight. And tomorrow morning, if it's wet on the wool and dry all around it, then I'll know that you're going to give us the victory." Well, he wakes up the next morning and he wrings water out of that fleece of wool, and the ground is dry all around it. It's like it rained in just one tiny little location. That was a miracle. But Gideon says, "Lord, I need a double sign. Need you to do that again. Just this time, Lord, I want to be dry on the fleece of wool and wet all around it." And when he wakes up in the morning, God has obliged. The fleece is dry and it's wet all around it. So that's God confirming it to him four times. "You're going to win. You're going to win." And the fleece is wet. Then the fleece is dry. You see, Gideon is facing a big battle. And his faith is sort of weak. He's given to doubts. And God, who is a patient God, is just reassuring him over and over again. Do you see yourself there? I don't think there's a one of us here that would stand up and say, "Let me brag on my faith for a little while." Oh, no. No, some of us would have to say, "I've been saved 50 years and I still am prone to wonder and prone to doubt sometimes." So that's the famous event where he lays out the fleece. Aren't you glad, by the way, in these New Testament times that to find the will of God, we don't have to do anything like that? You see, Gideon didn't have a Bible like you do. He didn't have a church to go to. He didn't have the indwelling Holy Ghost like we do. If we need to know if something's God's will, what do? We start reading the Bible till God speaks to us. Amen. We start praying about it. We start discerning circumstances for God's leading and providence. Amen. You can know what God wants you to do. That's right. When you wake up in the middle of the night and God's telling you something and you know you didn't even have time to think of it yourself, you better pay attention to that. When you're praying and God inserts something into your mind, or when a godly friend gives you some counsel, or when you hear something in the song and God says to your spirit, "Hey, that was for you. Hey, that was for you." When somebody stands up and testifies and it's like it's written in letters of fire on your heart, That's God revealing something to you. You don't have to get you a fleece of wool and lay it out and ask God for two miracles. When God wants to reveal something to you as a New Testament Christian, all the lights will line up. What God says to you in the Bible, what God says to you in prayer, what God says to you in circumstances, what God says to you through counsel, through song, through testimony, it will all agree. Isn't that wonderful? It's what F.B. Meyer said. He was on a ship years ago and it got very foggy. And he said to the captain, how in the world do you navigate in the fog? And he said, preacher, if you look way off in the distance, you'll see three red lights. He said, when I'm going like I'm supposed to be going, those three red lights line up. But if I get too far to one side or the other, those lights don't line up. And folks, when you're going to where you're supposed to be going and doing what you're supposed to do, the lights will line up. Amen. But when there's a check in your spirit, when the Holy Ghost says to you, stop! Amen. You'll know it if you're listening. God's not in the business of confusing. He's in the business of leading and in the business of assuring. Don't trust your feelings, because some days you don't even feel saved. And you know very well if you're saved, you're saved. Amen. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And if the best thing you can do to find out God's will for you is to do His general will for every Christian, that'll keep you busy. Amen. You do everything you know to do, and God will give you those last few details. Amen. Can you imagine somebody saying, Lord, I want you to lead me, but I'm not going to read the Bible. Lord, I really want to know your will, but I ain't going to pray about it. Lord, I want you to direct my life. But I don't need the church and I don't need Christian friends. God ain't got nothing to say to you because you have omitted His general will. If you want God to give you further directions, you just go on what He's already told you, what He's commanded you, and He'll give you the final touches. Well, thirdly and quickly, as Gideon learns about God and learns about himself, he sees not only is God a God of power, not only is God a God of patience, but He's a jealous God. Because when the 32,000 volunteers come together, God immediately says, that's too many. You'll go out to battle against the Midianites and you'll brag and say, we won. Look what we did. And God said, no, you're going to win this thing and you're going to know that I miraculously intervened and you're going to know that I did it. So, Gideon, you tell those 32,000 for the, you just say, all right. Thank y'all for coming, but I know a bunch of you is cowards. Y'all can leave now before you discourage the heart of your brethren. 22,000 walked out the door. God said, that's still too many. I don't need 10,000 to go against 100,000. God said, bring them down to the brook. Let them get a drink of water. 9,700 of them got down and put their face to the water. God said, send them on home. They're careless. They're not in a state of constant alertness. They're not using their hand like they should with their eye out toward the enemy. 9,700 went home. That left 300 to go against 100,000. But when God is on your side, numbers are immaterial. I actually believe Gideon could have whooped the whole outfit by himself if God wanted him to. But God said, we'll stop at 300. Amen. 300, no weapons. But God's jealous. God said, no, when this is all done, everybody's going to be bragging on me and not you, Gideon. You can read that for yourself, the opening verses of Chapter 7. So 99% are gone, but God's going to get all the glory. I read to us already chapter 7, verse 7. Here's another assurance. The Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men that left will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand." There's assurance number 5. So when he goes out to battle, he has so far at least 5 assurances, 3 spoken assurances and the fleece in both conditions. But God's about to give him one more assurance. And that brings me to my last point. That is, God is a God of encouragement. Because God tells Gideon to go down to the edge of the enemy's camp, and the valley's full. And if you've ever been to Armageddon, what a place for a battle. You stand there on Mount Carmel, look out over that valley. It looks like it has no end. And it's flat as it can be. A perfect place for a battle. No wonder Napoleon said, "What a place for a battle." And it's full of Midianites. And God said, "I want you to go down there, Gideon, before the battle. And I want you to see what they're saying. What are they thinking? They're going to defeat y'all or get defeated? What's the morale of the Midianites?" And God, who is so patient with Gideon, says, I know you're a little bit timid still. Take somebody with you. Ain't God amazing?" And so Gideon takes his servant with him, ever so quietly. And as they approach the camp of the enemy, they get close enough, they see 2 Midianite soldiers talking. And Gideon says, "Shh, let's see what they're saying." And the one Midianite soldier says to the other one, "I had a terrible dream. I had a terrible dream. I had this dream, and there's this cake of barley bread. It came tumbling down and destroyed our whole host. It was terrible. You wonder what that means." And the other Midianite soldier said, "Oh, I know what that means. That means that Gideon... that means the sword of Gideon. They're just a few hundred yards away. It means they're going to defeat us. We don't have a chance." And Gideon poked his servant and said, "Did you hear what they said? God gave that man a dream, and that other fella knows what the dream means. And God..." What a God. "God put us at the right place, at the right time, to hear them say that. Assurance number 6. Hallelujah. How could you not go to battle when God's done told you 6 times that you're going to win?" Well, that ranks as one of the most outstanding, incredible events in the history of the world. Who ever heard of such a thing as that? But right there it is in the Bible. And isn't it? And Gideon knew that cake of barley bread was him. That was God saying, "Gideon, you're not much. You don't have to be much. It's all about me, and it's not about you." And Gideon's encouraged. And you know what Gideon does? And I'm done. He goes back up to the rest of the men, and the Bible says he worshiped. He said, "Oh God, you've raised me up for such a time as this. You've given me 3 spoken promises, 2 fleece assurances, and you sent me down there to hear what the dream you gave that man, and let his friend interpret it, and let..." You know how close you got to be to overhear what somebody's saying? And he told his men that we don't need any weapons. We've got the weapon. We've got God Almighty fighting for us. And they're going to win the day and not lose a soldier, praise God. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. God's always used the weak to overcome the strong. If you don't believe that, study the Revolutionary War. God's always used the foolish to confound the wise. God's always used 300 to defeat 100,000. God's always used little Davids to bring down Goliath. That way he gets all the glory. That's why salvation is by grace, by the way. He gets all the glory. Did you know if you went to heaven, talked to everybody, there's not one single person up there saying, I was a pretty good guy. You know, me and Jesus got me here. Oh, no. No. They'll say, I did all the sinning and Jesus did all the saving. And it's all by grace. And God got all the glory. And Gideon worshiped. You say, he sure had great faith. No, he really didn't. But he sure had a great God. And if you can't have great faith, just make sure you got a great God. Amen. Let's stand together tonight.